This is a News 1130 special report.
Restoring public confidence, that may be the biggest challenge for TransLink's new CEO, who says he doesn't have a game plan yet. News 1130's Anita Bath joins us live in studio.
Anita, what is he going to do to figure that out?
Well, Amanda, Kevin Desmond says he doesn't have a prescription, even though, I mean, really, the public here probably wants a quick fix, but he just doesn't have that at this point. He says he's got a lot of work to do, and that starts with getting out and listening.
Get out amongst our employees. The employees know a lot about the system, and I need to hear from them. The people at the ground level, the people that answer the telephones, the people that clean the stations and the bus stops, people that drive the trains and buses and the water taxi. I need to listen to them. I need to hear about from the customers. That's who's paying the bill. Need to find out how we can improve the reliability and the convenience of the system. If we're improving reliability and convenience, ultimately that's how you attract and retain customers. And if we've got a good level of customer satisfaction, I think the rest of it flows.
Now, Kevin does have a lot of experience in different systems, including New York and Seattle. He spent a lot of time at the news conference basically explaining what he feels are a lot of similarities between the Seattle region system and ours, especially in terms of having a very complicated governance structure. We all know TransLink is no simple system. We've got a lot of different boards and different people reporting to different people. And he says the Seattle system is a lot like that. And he feels that gives him the ability to handle that here and to really build relationships across each platform.
So his appointment was announced today, and this was his first news briefing with everybody. One of the controversies that have surrounded TransLink CEOs in the past is how much they're getting paid. So do we know how much he's getting paid?
We do. He is making $365,000 a year, Jim, and that's about $60,000 less than the previous CEO, Ian Jarvis. He won't be getting a vehicle allowance or a bonus. Jarvis did get both of those things, but Desmond will, however, get a $1,500 a month housing allowance for the first year. Now, he says he plans to live near the TransLink offices, which are in New West, so he can minimize commuting time, and he wants to maximize his time focusing on the organization. But, you know, at the news conference, we didn't really talk a lot about his pay and whether that's too high or too low and what people thought, but we are told that that is in the mid salary range for that position.
Now, over the last few months, a lot of people have of course been talking about the Compass Card and its implementation. Did he have anything to say today about the Compass Card?
He did, and I found this extremely interesting because Desmond has experience rolling out a similar system in New York City and most recently the Orca system in the Seattle area. We all know with Compass Card, things have been rolled out piece by piece. It hasn't really been the smoothest of rollouts. So have a listen to what Desmond has to say about any system like this.
I don't know of any AFC system anywhere in the world that can be implemented particularly quickly. They're very complicated. You need to make sure that when you roll it out, that all the systems are functional. And you need to roll it out all at once. Part of the problem, I think, with AFC systems is if you roll it out piecemeal, people say, well, it works here, but it doesn't work there. It worked on SkyTrain, but it's still not on the bus. So it's not, I won't use it until I can make my Link trip, for example.
So at the news conference, when reporters pointed out, you know, well, that's interesting because TransLink has not rolled out Compass in one go. It has, in fact, done it piece by piece. Desmond then said he would not be critical at this point of Compass.
Did he mention anything about meeting with mayors or relationship with the lower mainland mayors?
Yeah, there was a big focus on that. Not only meeting with mayors, but of course, the board of directors and kind of trying to build those relationships across all of those different organizations and trying to bring them together. He talked a lot about funding and how important it is that we secure the right type of funding, and we do that by, you know, working together. But he didn't really address, and to be fair, none of us asked about this, he didn't address the the issue of mayors still having to come up with that one-third of funding for transit in the future.